I've got great memories of the aircraft. They're very, very beautiful, safe aircraft to fly. They didn't go fast, but you could fly for many hours. And one of our fellows flew 11 hours on one motor from the Solomons back to New Guinea, which is a long way. And that'd give you some idea of the motors that they had in them. Pratt & Whitney, very, very solid engine. They were economical to fly. It all depends what you wanted to do with them. I don't think they'll never ever manufacture another plane that plane did, thank God.
And what were some of the missions that you undertook in this plane, Peter?
Well, I was on air sea rescue. That was all I did until after the war, and I did a few trips over to Singapore, back in bringing prisoners of war back. Sick prisoners of war, Australians, you know. But I didn't last that long because my father had a very good friend that was a top bloke in the RAAF. He got me that job. I didn't want it, but anyhow, he came and said, you got your discharge coming through, you can go home now. I went back out west out here. And that was the end of my flying career, thank God.
And how long was your flying career?
About 4 years altogether, but not war flying. I was 2.5 years up in the islands. And I went from Port Moresby up to Mindanao in the Philippines. Every hop, step and jump all the way up, you know. Because at that time they were having trouble with the Solomons. And we went over to a place on the Solomons on the northwest of the bay, and the Japs still had Rabaul. Our boys the bombers used to land there and go down and give the Japs a bit of a tickle up, and any of them went in, we'd go and pick them up. And that went on for a while, but we got out of it.
When you were in the Catalina, I'd say you did a lot of night flying at the time?
Oh, well, day and night. See, they got a long duration, these things, yeah. We always maintain that if you keep your hours of flying around about 9 hours, you've got fuel left, unless you start to push it a bit or hit a headwind. At about 9 hours, we'd run into night time coming home and, from dues or picking up blokes or whatever. But no, we never had any trouble with them. Beautiful aircraft.
Did you have any close shaves at all when you were flying?
All close shaves. Yeah, odd ones. Not old cats, they were very, very safe. It was very hard to get them off the deck if you had a flat, absolutely flat. They wouldn't break, and you'd get them up onto the first step. And you'd take off, and you'd try to get the back up and down. You'd be pushing them, and she'd bounce and bounce. Where she'd get patrol boats to race up each side, cause a bit of a ripple, so you can break it underneath, and away you go.
You mentioned one of your missions was to pick up prisoners of war from Indonesia. Was it a bit of a shock when you did that?
Oh, no, not really. Just take it for as it comes along. We were fortunate that we didn't have to do what a lot of other fellows had to do. Reconnaissance and that, well, they were right down in amongst the anti-guns from the Japanese and fighters and one thing and another. But we always tried to dodge them if we could, We had our own system of dodging the Japs. If they came in, we'd get right on the drink as far as we could, and as soon as we saw them coming, we'd turn side onto them, and they only heard one shot as you're going across the bow. And my mate, there's two of us in the SA rescue business there, and we had a code of if the Japs are around and fighters around, you just get out. The mosquitoes are bad around this area, and things like that. We had a lot of that thing. But they could talk, they talk plain English or not, I don't know, but most of the time we dodge them now. We got a few bullets through us, but not many. No, nobody got killed, thank God.
What did you think of the Japanese as I suppose a fighting force?
Don't ask me what I think of them, mate. And I don't know.
Now, what was your reaction when you got your discharge?
I don't know. I can't reveal that. But no, but it was quite good to get home. And I had got leave because I hadn't had any leave for a long time. And I went back to the station, and then I came down to Rockhampton to my mother who lived there, and we stayed there down to Emu Park and all those places. Yeah, and then I got to face up, so I've got to go back to work. And the company wanted me back again, and I went back, and I stayed with them until they got into trouble, and they sent me down to straighten one lot of trouble out. And then Sir James Walker, Longley's man, I knew him. He was JG in nowadays, you know, before he was knighted, and he asked me would I go and manage their properties. I said, yeah, right, new buildings, yeah. You do what you like, as long as you don't go into debt. No, righto. So the poor old fellow, we were good friends. And I stayed with him for 20-odd years. And then my wife got sick and I had to go to Brisbane. And I went down there and I got a job in a finance company. And I stayed with him until I was 68, I think. I was 69 or something. And then I gave it away. And since then I bought a boat and I've been fishing and one thing and another, enjoying life. And I'm 90... just on 93 now.
I think you've earned the right to enjoy life. And coming out here and looking at these planes, do you think it's good to see these older planes restored kept up?
Yeah, well, the first time I came here, they were building a plane, because I do believe this is one of the first areas in the world, places in the world, that they built their own aircraft. My time, they had the old DH-60s, 40s and 60s and one thing or another, and they started to crash, so I gave them away, and then they got the DC-3s and the DC-4s and then the DC-6s, big time from then on.